This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, August 11th, 2020 edition of Invest Talk. And we are well underway in the month of August. Hope everyone's staying cool and safe. And today was kind of the first shot across the bow, shall we say, in the markets in a little while, where we saw a solid, really down day since July 23rd. So it's been about 3 weeks since we've seen a little bit of volatility. And this was driven in a different way today. A lot of it's sentiment, positioning, which has now become extreme on the optimistic side. Doesn't mean you have to drop dramatically, but there likely needs to be some humbleness for the bulls, right, to bring kind of the fear and greed index back to something more neutral. And it was just waiting for a catalyst. And the catalyst today, although probably won't talk about it much on CNBC or the other media outlets, were higher yields, higher treasury yields. You saw the 10-year hit 0.658 today, up 8.5 basis points from yesterday. That's a big move. 8.5 basis points on from a basis of, what, 50, what, 8.5, 57 basis points? It's pretty big. About a 15% move in one day. The big question is, what is the driver of that, right? We know that Fed wants to keep rates low. Is it simply supply? Because there's massive supply coming on board. Is it sellers, right? Kind of maybe capitulating out of bonds and equities? Well, if that was the case, well, they picked a bad time to do it, right? And higher yields mean lower asset prices in general. We've talked about this before. One of the big reasons why you have such strength in the tech stocks is that low yield, the discounting of future cash flows, the expectation of very high future cash flows for a lot of these growth stocks, even if their earnings are none or small today. And so when yields go up, that affects the large cap growth stocks the most. And you saw that today. In fact, if you look at the value side of the market, that was barely down. While the growth side of the market was down a little over 1%. And if you look at my YouTube video, watch my YouTube video on Friday, I said there continues to be this kind of rotation away from growth and into value. Right? Small caps, which at this point are more on the growth side than, or sorry, on the value side than the growth side, have started to outperform the S&P as of late. Which is now the opposite, right? Where most of the S&P is weighted towards the five biggest FANG names. And so underneath the surface of the market, this is what you've seen, what I've been seeing. So if you go watch that video, you'll see my explanation there that while the S&P has been grinding a little bit higher, growth stocks have been losing momentum. Now, two things can happen here. You can simply have the growth stocks kind of trade sideways, chop around, still underperform the value side of the market, but the value starts to take hold. And while a lot of those have been lagging, they start to lead, and that leads the market higher, as long as the growth side of the market doesn't falter too badly. So that's a possibility. Or the growth side falters so bad because of higher interest rates, which I think would be driven by higher inflation expectations. That could also be what turns the market back over to the downside. If we reopen the economy, right, things get better. They talk about the vaccine in Russia. That could be a catalyst as well. I don't think there's really a vaccine in Russia. I think that's more of a political ploy. But will the growth trade since COVID started kind of reverse, right? Which leaves the equity markets vulnerable, the S&P mainly, because of the overweight in the growth side of the market. There's a lot of interesting dynamics right now in this market, right? This isn't a normal market. We're in the midst, like I said yesterday, going from a depression-like economy to a recessionary economy. You have a lot of bifurcation because of COVID in the economy, from rich versus poor, from tech to, you know, say, restaurant industry, anything that's service-related. So you're not in a normal economy, which means you're not in a normal market. Gold came in today, and I've said this for a week or two, that it's looking a little hot, right? Starting to get in the news. It's a good lesson, right? How many articles about gold did you see a week ago, 2 weeks ago? When that happens, it usually means there's over bullishness in the space. But with volatility, oftentimes becomes opportunity. So will this be an opportunity? We'll find out, and it's up to you to decide. But certainly a volatile day on that side of the market as well. Maybe it brings off the frothiness, at least in the near term, of some of those gold shares as well. So a lot to talk about on today's show. I'm ready to take your calls. 888-99-CHART. Our goal here on Invest Talk and at our company KPP Financial is to operate with the philosophy of independent thinking and shared success. That's what Steve and I do each and every day on the show and in the office. We are dedicated to that unbiased guidance as well as providing investment strategies that can be implemented for different goals, different risk tolerances, different types of investors. And we prove this with a practice we call parallel investing, meaning we invest right alongside our clients. So now that I've set things up for today, I am ready to get your calls in. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. If you want to set up a time with myself or Steve, you can do that via investtalk.com. You can set up a telephone call, a Skype call, a Jive meeting, whatever you would like, however you'd like to connect in this time of virtual meetings. We would love to do so. So head over to investtalk.com, click on the Contact Justin or Contact Steve button. My focus point today is on the payroll tax holiday, and ultimately, could it cost workers more than they expected next year? We're going to discuss the potential forgiveness or not, and what your liability could be next year if your employer does not withhold the payroll tax. So we're going to touch on that. Also, on my docket is office REITs. There were a couple calls yesterday, and I think we should go over kind of the history of office REITs, what they look like in a recession, etc. There's a lot to unpack here, and it's important for everybody to discuss and learn about and understand, because in this market, there's a lot of variables to consider. And then lastly, are there a couple inefficiencies in the high-yield bond market that investors can take advantage of? It's something we do for clients, but we're going to dig into the details a little bit more as well. So that's what's on my mind today. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. Summer is moving along, and you need to get your portfolio in gear. How are we going to deal with the volatility like you saw today? I want to hear from you. Let's talk about it. Your participation is an important part of the mix. So we're taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, where InvestTalk hosts and KPP principals Steve Peasley and Justin Klein practice parallel investing. That means Steve and Justin's accounts participate with client investments at equal prices and percentages. You can learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com. The phone lines are open. Steve and Justin welcome your questions. Call now, 888-99-CHART.
All right, let's go to Eric in New York looking at LVGO, Livongo Health.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you for taking my phone call. Sure. Yeah, so I'm looking at Livongo Health. They recently announced a merger with Teladoc, and this whole telemedicine is a new big thing with the obvious catalyst being COVID. I just wanted to know what you thought about this stock, the space, and you know, it had a big dip after the merger was announced. Should I look at this as a buying opportunity, or should I wait till after the merger and see how things kind of shake out?
Well, I believe, if I remember correctly, Teladoc is buying Livongo Health, correct?
Right, yeah.
Yes. So it's going to be, I believe, an all-stock deal in Teladoc shares. Am I correct on that as well?
Yeah, I believe that there was something in regards to value being like 0.52 of, I forget the details, and like $11.33 being paid out per share for Livongo holders. I forget the exact terms.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so it looks like, 0.59 shares of Teladoc plus cash considerations of $11.33 for each Livongo share. So that's what you'll, if you're a Livongo shareholder, that's what you will get. You'll get $11.33 per share plus, you know, if you have 100 shares, you'll get 59.2 shares of Teladoc. So this is now going to trade like Teladoc. Right, and Teladoc's been trending downwards. So it's really your view on Teladoc now. Because Livongo is, unless the deal falls apart, Teladoc is going to be, you're going to be owning Teladoc at the end of the day, plus that $11.33. You know, I think you're late to the game. You're already seeing the space roll over. You're seeing growth stocks roll over. I think this is something that I would have on my watch list, and this is a type of name that I think is going to come down over 50% from its high, and we're barely down as it is. So I'm definitely looking at the space. I'm looking at other companies, smaller companies that are a little less talked about, because they're not the only telemedicine company that's public, I'll tell you that. There are others. And so while Livongo and Teladoc are the most talked about, doesn't mean they are the best. And you'll learn that too over time, is that many of the companies that maybe the most discussed and the most hyped, especially early on in their days of being public, aren't the best run. They just have the best PR. You know, Beyond Meat's a great example. I think they just had great PR. It's a veggie burger. Great PR. Are they the best? Are they best? Well, are they most well run in their space? I don't think so. And I don't think Teladoc is either. So, while there's a lot of the names, a lot of names that have done well since March are in the work from home space, the, in this case, virtual medicine space, vast majority of those names are well overvalued. We're going to go to a break. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk, and we are all watching the markets go up, then down. So now, more than ever, you need unbiased investing guidance. Justin Klein is here taking your questions live. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. Love the show. Curious about what you think of PaySign, ticker P-A-Y-S. I'm thinking about entering a position now that it is beginning to dip under that $9 mark, and curious what your thoughts are. Thanks. Look forward to hearing soon. Bye-bye.
Interesting. Okay, this is PaySign Incorporated. It's a pretty relatively small company. Revenue last quarter was only $10.5 million, a $500 million market cap. So based on that, that's pretty expensive. And they're growing about 40 to 50% over the past couple of years, year over year on revenue. Earnings up 36% this year, supposed to be up another 68% next year. Now what they do is they offer prepaid debit card payment solutions, as well as an integrated payment processor that is in relation mainly to the pharmaceutical industry with copay assistant products designed to maximize new patient acquisition, retention, and adherence. So they're in the prepaid card space, and I think this is more of a play on more government spending towards maybe the medical space or just giving people more money, maybe on prepaid cards, for example. And I think that's really what the play is here. Their profitability is nice. Return on equity trailing 12 months is over 50%. So I like that profitability. They have positive free cash flow, even though it's not that great. It's still nice and profitable. My issue really here is the valuation. Enterprise value to EBIT is 58. Enterprise value to revenue is 13. That's pretty high. I like that they have very minimal debt, though, which is attractive to me. So I like the space. I like the growth. I actually like the chart in the near term. The daily chart has been consolidating over the past couple of, call it 2 months or so. Had a big move in late June and has been consolidating that. So as long as we stay above 740-ish, call it 750, $7.50. Now we're at $9.95. I actually like this, technically. Fundamentally, it's still a little expensive, even though it's growing. But this would be more of a trade for me simply on that chart, which to me is pretty positive. Now, my focus point today concerns the payroll tax holiday. And the big question is, how will it affect workers? Now, we know President Trump put together or signed an executive order on August 8th. And it calls for the deferral of employees' portion of payroll taxes from September 1st through the end of the year. Now, the CARES Act had already made payroll taxes optional, right, through the end of the year, saying employers don't have to pay it until next year. Now, it's basically giving that ability for employees to do the exact same thing. That doesn't mean you don't owe it, at least for now. It just means that you can get a little bit more money now and pay that later when you do file taxes before April 15th next year. Now, this will also do a couple other things, like extend unemployment benefits at a reduced level, I think from $600 to $400. It also gives a 3-month extension for deferrals on federal student loans. So that's big as well. And it orders the Secretary of the Treasury to explore avenues, including legislation, to limit the obligations to pay for the taxes deferred. So basically saying it's up to the Treasury to push Congress to forgive this payroll tax. In today's Congress, I don't know if that's really going to be something that's palatable to actually happen. You know, they can agree on a current stimulus package. So I don't see them agreeing on this either. So even if you get a short-term boost, you're unlikely to keep that because you'll probably just pay it in taxes next year. And if you go by Pete Iceberg, which is the vice president for government relations at ADP, says the worst case scenario is we have a deferral, and if Congress doesn't act on the forgiveness, each employee owes the tax and pays it on their form 1040 next year. So while this is nice, I don't really think it's going to – I think this is Trump basically saying, let's try to boost the economy. How can I boost the economy right now before the election, get a little more money into people's pockets, even if they have to pay it later? Well, guess what? They're going to look at it and pay it post-election. They're not going to know that this is a deferral just till next year and that they're still going to have to pay it. So don't think if you're getting a little boost to your paycheck that this is something that is some magic money in your pocket. It's just simply a deferral, at least for now, but I would not expect it to be forgiven. Now, the next Invest Talk, the story, is inflation a threat to the economy? One analyst says no, not yet, but could he be wrong? Steve will break down that story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your questions live at 888-99-CHART. When you look at your phone and your phone bill, do you ever wonder if you are paying too much? I mean, are the big boys taking advantage of you? If you're still using one of the big wireless providers, you should ask yourself why. What are you really paying for? Why should you pay up to support their expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees? Bottom line, you shouldn't. You need to break the habit of shoveling money into overpriced phone carriers, and you can do this easily and save money with Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead, then passes those savings directly to you. What kind of savings? Well, you know what the big boys are charging you now. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every Mint Mobile plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. With Mint Mobile, stop paying for unlimited data you'll never use. Choose between plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/investtalk. That's mintmobile.com/investtalk.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Carter. Just started listening to your guys' show. I'm a big fan already. I had a question about Tencent. T-C-E-H-Y. Just kind of curious of what you thought on the company and its chart. Thanks. Bye now.
All right, this is Tencent Holdings, Chinese company, provider of internet and mobile value-added services and online advertising. And if you're new to the show, you probably don't know that I'm not a big fan of the Chinese companies at this time. I think many of them we know based on history that all of them have some level of fraud built into their business. It's just a matter of how much. And when will governments crack down on China really bleeding investors dry? We have Luckin Coffees of the world, and there are dozens that you've seen over the past 10 to 20 years of just out and out frauds, and mostly frauds that are outed. Now, Tencent is one of the biggest ones. Doesn't mean that they're going to go away, but they have a $630 billion valuation, pays a very small dividend. And I can talk about the fundamentals, but once again, I don't know if I trust the fundamentals, which I don't. I think the legislation in the future is going to weigh on a lot of these names. And you've just seen that recently with the decent drop. So chart-wise, it's broken below its 50 and its 20-day moving average. And so I would pass on Tencent for all of those reasons. But thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have about 20 minutes left in the show, so get your call in now. Let's touch on work-from-home trends and not the companies that are benefiting, but the companies that are most hurt from it. And we know based on Morgan Stanley's recent survey that about 75% of employees would like to work from home at least 3 days a week. Now, this is going to be an issue for the owners of office buildings and the occupancy rate of those buildings. I know for us, we moved a little less than 2 years ago to a new office building in Irvine that was built less than a year before we moved in. And I check in with security. We go in the office now 3 to 4 days a week. And I check in with security and say, what's your, what percent of people are back? And he said, probably only about 8 to 10%. And so I think this is a common thing if you look at the statistics. And if you look at prior recessions, get rid of COVID, just talk about a recession. Office rents typically drop pretty dramatically, and they drop the most in areas like San Francisco and New York. In 1990, office rents nationwide dropped 9%, in New York and San Francisco 14% equally. 2001 post-dot-com bubble, which I think is where we're going to go in the next cycle, New York was down 22%. San Francisco rents were down 48%. And the U.S. overall was down 21%. In the 2008-2009 recession, overall U.S. 18% down, 21% in New York, and 29% in San Francisco. Now, year to date, as of July 29th, the office REIT sector was down 23%, whereas overall REIT sector was only down 9%. Industrial REITs were actually up. Now, you would say, okay, this is just because of COVID, but this actually has been a longer-term trend. On the 1, 3, and 5-year periods, office REITs have trailed the overall REIT index. And more of these office buildings are needing to put more amenities, technology infrastructure, fitness centers, nicer lobbies. And that's likely going to be even more. It's going to take even more in today's world. Now, what areas of the office REITs might be actually attractive? If it's not going to be the New Yorks of the world, the San Franciscos of the world, or the Chicagos of the world. Well, think of maybe Austin, Texas, for example. Right? Maybe your middle markets where the cost of living is cheaper. Think of all the people moving out of New York. They're going to have to live somewhere. Area where they have more space, get more bang for the buck. Same with businesses. Call them the gateway markets. And I think those will be the attractive areas to invest in the office REIT space, but that still might be a little while. Let's go to Noel in Napa looking at B&G Foods.
Yes, hi, Justin. Good afternoon. Yeah, I've had it for a while. I'm not anxious to sell, but what would I look for to maybe consider selling? It's, as you know, it's pierced $30 recently, and so when would be a time to sell in your view?
I like B&G Foods. They have been over-indebted for a little while, but they have good management. I think you could see a near-term pullback. But I think this could easily get back into the 40s. And so I'm a fan of it. I like this bread and butter business, I guess, pun intended, because they manufacture shelf-stable food products such as jellies, hot sauces. They own Jolly Green Giant. They have a lot of just solid brands that are getting more traction now because more people are eating at home. All right, they're stocking up on more shelf-stable foods, right? Whereas the trend used to be towards the outer part of the grocery store, right? Fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh meats, and less towards canned goods, boxed goods, etc. And this pandemic has certainly helped their business, allowed them to pay down the debt, and get in a better financial position. And so, honestly, I would just keep holding it.
Okay. Yeah, and, of course, I just love that dividend. It's unbelievable. So.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. 6.6%, nice solid dividend. But because of that over-indebtedness, they could have some volatility. So be prepared for a certain level of volatility in the stock. Thanks for the call. I'm Justin Klein. You're listening to Invest Talk, and you are in good company. We keep download statistics, or at least our podcast servers do. And we know that in the month of July, for example, we totaled over 850,000 downloads. Steve and I thank you for that. Please be sure to tell your friends and family members about Invest Talk and our website, investtalk.com. We have some great resources over there for you, and I suggest you take our Riskalyze risk questionnaire. It'll help you define your investment comfort zone, 1 to 99. It's kind of like a speed limit. The higher it is, the more comfortable you are with risk. The lower it is, the less comfortable you are. So it's always interesting to have people figure out what type of investor they are and then build a portfolio around that, and that's something we do for clients, or you can just do simply on your own. And, of course, you can call our KPP financial offices in Irvine, California. We would love to help you. We want to help you. But for now, our phone lines are open, so give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk. We have good news. Steve and Justin have recorded another Rapid Fire Hour podcast. They take caller questions at a faster pace, and you still get unbiased answers, but in the special podcast, you'll hear responses to over 30 finance and investment questions. The theme of the program concerns market processes, best practices for investors, and explanations of various terms and investment opportunities. Tell your friends, search Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, or investtalk.com for the free August bonus show. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk. Made possible by KPP Financial.
Yes, my name's Elliot Bartlett, and I just found you guys on the app, started listening, and I really like how you slow down the pace and answer pretty thoroughly. I got on the Robinhood. I've been using it for a while. I've got about 10,000 right now that I'm investing, and Harmony Gold, it's HMY, is what I've been following, watching. They jumped up from $3. They hit a high of $7.40, and they dropped back down to about $6.80. Man, I'm just looking to pull the trigger, but I just wanted to know what your thoughts were. Several different apps rate that as a stock to buy. They have different safety ratings. It's a company that they mine for gold, for silver over in Africa, and I think a couple other places. Yeah, I just wanted to hear your thoughts and your advice, and I appreciate your time. Thanks.
This is Harmony Gold Mining, about a $3 billion market cap, down pretty decent today, about 10%, not shocking. It was kind of a tough day for gold miners after a big, big run, not shocking. Remember, these gold mining shares are very, very volatile, so you have to understand and accept and expect that level of volatility. Now, earnings this year expect to be 4 cents, but 74 cents next year. So big, big jump in earnings. Now, here's my biggest issue with Harmony Gold is that they have mining operations in South Africa and Papua New Guinea. They have some other projects all over the world. I could read off the names, but many of them are in places you've never heard of. And that makes this type of company far more risky, right? When your mines are in third world countries with very, very questionable governance, these governments can come in and take over a mine or not allow you to sell the gold that you have mined into the rest of the world. They might want a piece of that. So part of the analysis of the gold miners is not just what are the numbers, what do they mine, it's where are these mines? What's the history of the profitability of these mines as well? And if I look at return on equity, return on assets, it's pretty low, pretty weak. Many years negative, even back in 2010 when gold prices were pretty high. So that worries me here. And revenue last quarter only up 15%. It's not that great. So I don't hate it because I like the space, but definitely not near the top of my list. And the lesson here, I think, is that he's a new investor. Robinhood account, that's dead giveaway there. And it's a low price stock trading at $5.75 a share today. And this is something, you know, I have friends, some of them are, you know, a little bit younger than me, and they're just starting to get into the investing game as well. And what do? They look for the lowest price stock, right? Oh, is it trading for $4, $7, $3? And they think that is the one I buy because it's the cheapest. That's what they think. It's how they think. And it is probably the number one mistake most amateurs make. I'll give you guys a little hint. We have, in our most aggressive strategy, we have 6 different gold and silver miners. Only one of them trades below $10. We picked it up, I don't know, around 3, now it's at 7. Doesn't mean you exclude them, doesn't mean you can't buy them. But it should not be a factor at all in your thinking. To look at the fundamentals of the company, and the dollar amount doesn't matter. The market cap does, enterprise value does, the debt does, but not the dollar price that it's trading at. And this goes for any company in any industry. Now let's keep things moving. Here comes another caller question that came in earlier at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Stephen, Justin, it's Blake from Rhode Island. I'm just calling about the Work From Home ETF, ticker symbol WFH. I'm wondering your guys' thoughts on it. I picked up a little bit of it, and I might pick up some more. We'll be listening for the answer, please, and thank you.
Well, this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier with the Teladoc or Livongo and the trend that, you know, people are piling into these work from home investments and they're overvalued. This is a great example. This just came out in the month of June. Whenever an ETF comes out focusing on some segment, subsegment of the market, what does that tell you? Well, I'll tell you what it should tell you. It should tell you that that space is way, way over-owned, over-allocated to. People are buying it without any sense of valuation concern at all. And you can go back in the history. Go look at any subsector ETF. You'll notice that 9 out of 10 of them came out around the time when that particular thesis story in the market was hot. Why is that? Well, think about this. Okay, if you're an ETF company and you want to gather assets, you're going to launch a fund. Are you going to launch a fund and gather enough assets to make that fund worthwhile in a sector that has so-so interest? No. You're going to put it in a hot sector. Make it in a hot sector where everyone's going to throw their money in without any regard for valuation. And you can get the most assets in the near term to keep that fund sustainable. And that's how these ETFs work. And that's why you need to avoid the ones that should just launch and the whole area. Now we're going into our final break, so give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk. For serious investors, it's all about achieving financial freedom. That's why the unbiased guidance offered by Steve and Justin is so valuable. The Invest Talk Anytime listener lines are open now, and Steve and Justin welcome your questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin, really enjoy the program. I was just wondering if I could get your thoughts on Kellogg. The symbol is K. Thank you.
All right, looking at Kellogg, I think everybody knows what Kellogg does. They pay a decent dividend, about 3.3%. I'm okay on Kellogg. I kind of like it. It's not my favorite in the space, I kind of like it. It's weakened recently, which worries us a little bit, and so I would probably I'd probably have a hold on Kellogg. I probably wouldn't buy it here, but you know, it's one of those decent long-term plays. It's not expensive. It's not cheap at these levels. So I'm just going to kind of give it an okay on Kellogg to slightly better than okay. Let's say that. All right, let's go to one more caller question at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Nate in Arizona. I am calling about ticker NAK. There's been some positive news regarding the environmental impact from the Army Corps of Engineers, as well as the United States could probably use a mine at large. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. I'll listen on the podcast. Thank you.
All right, this is Northern Dynasty Minerals, and what they are, they're developing a mine in Pebble Project located in Alaska. That's its core asset, and that's the big issue here, is that it's one particular asset, and whether it actually, they don't have any revenue because they're just developing this mine. They're trying to get it passed. Now, the price has gone from, 30 cents back in, pull this up here. Yeah, back in March. Now we're at $1.48. It hit as high as $2.40. It's going to be mining for copper and gold and some other minerals. And that's been a little bit of an overbought space. So I wouldn't buy this because it's just simply too speculative that this is actually going to get passed. How much are they going to yield? How much copper and gold are they actually going to yield from this mine? This is all speculative. This is the type of name that you buy simply on a chart, and the chart after this recent drop is now in no man's land. It's no longer super bullish. It's no longer bearish, or it isn't bearish yet. Hasn't broken the lows from the month of June, which would be about $1.25. If it broke that, then I would say it's bearish. But this goes back to everyone just focusing on low-priced stocks and speculative stocks. And this is a hard message to get across to people in this time, right? Where fraud is awarded in the market right now. The SEC doesn't really crack down on fraud. It doesn't really crack down on anything. Anything goes. You have SPACs. You have these Chinese companies that there's a lot of fraud in there. You have the Nikola Tesla, the Nikolas of the world that are just basically pumping and dumping, the Modernas of the world that are pumping and dumping. There's really no regulation in the market right now. The Jay Clayton at the SEC is asleep, and it's allowing a lot of shadiness in the marketplace. A lot of white collar, in my estimation, is crime, is simply not prosecuted. Not punished. Look at the Kodak thing. You can kind of do whatever you want. And so in that environment, it's hard to convince people that they should focus on real companies with real cash flows and real earnings. Why? Because fraud has alpha right now. Fraud goes up. Well, it goes up until it doesn't. History tells me that it always comes around, right? That pendulum always swings back. When will that be? Hopefully soon. Because it's a sad sight to see that the markets are no longer functioning correctly. I'm Justin Klein, and this completes another Invest Talk program. I'll return on Thursday. In the meantime, please remember to tell your friends and family members about the over 100 archived Invest Talk podcasts that are free to download. on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, as well as investtalk.com, where you can browse by title or topic. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.